life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And I'm Allison.
Yay!
And you're here with us on A Teacher's Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
I mouthed it.
Yeah.
You know.
It's fine. You're fine. Okay, so we have a guest. We have Allison, and I'm going to let her just kind of take over for a minute and give herself all the plugs because she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So take it away.
Thank you. I'm Allison Williams. I am the co-host, currently the singular host because my co-host is on maternity leave for Coffee and Cases podcast. We cover lesser known unsolved cases from primarily in the United States, but across the globe. We really make it our mission to talk to family, talk to law enforcement, and cover the cases that don't get the coverage that they deserve to get for one reason or another.
Wow.
So that's kind of our mission. We do release episodes on your favorite podcasting platform every Thursday. So there we go.
Awesome.
I like to do collabs. We just we're in a collab with you guys for Halloween. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have another one for New Year's, which I'm super pumped about. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love
I'm
the collabs.
So excited.
Yeah.
I do too.
Everybody was giving us really good feedback about the collab. Mm-hmm. They're like, that was so cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. The true crime podcasting world is very collaborative. It's not cutthroat. Mm-hmm. So I love that. About it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
everybody I've ever reached out to, like from the beginning of our podcast days, mm-hmm. has been nothing but nice. Like no one has gatekept anything. Like mm-hmm. everyone's been like, oh, I do this. I use this. Try this. And I'm just like, this is like an amazing community to be a part of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 And there are
it's still a little surreal that we're even part of it.
Oh, yeah. Same. I know. I get the imposter syndrome sometimes, but.
Uh-huh.
There are actually a lot of teachers who are true crime podcasters as well. So I think just a connection. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
We love to talk.
I mean, we stare at serial killers, you know?
That's
probably
true.
at least once a year, we probably have one amongst us.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, especially that's what you guys cover. So.
Yes.
It's clearly there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what sparked it is like, mm-hmm. I had a kid a few years ago. It was like right when I like pitched the idea to Ashley, and me and another teacher were like, he doesn't blink and he has no empathy and he doesn't have, I was like, this is weird. Like let's, mm-hmm. and then I was like, oh, I want to do a podcast. Like this would be really mm-hmm. cool.
Right.
And there's not really a lot of podcasts that do what you do, Allison, as mm-hmm. well as you're doing the unsolved ones, but you reach out to families. We've mm-hmm. tried at least twice I know of, and it's hard. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I feel like the ones in the beginning, I was like, oh, I'm going to get them. Right. And then I would email them and I would get nothing. I'll be like, okay.
I kind of Facebook stalk people. Kind of.
Yeah.
I know. But they always respond. I've not had really anybody who
That's
hasn't
amazing.
Responded. So yeah. Maybe That's I've just really been lucky. Cool. I need to find some wood to knock on.
Yeah.
Yes, as you should.
Yeah.
No, that's really awesome.
And you find that law enforcement is willing to talk to you as well?
It depends on the case.
Okay.
There have been some cases where the detective in charge has been so hellbent on solving the crime that, like, I can think of one case where he said, I'm not going to retire until I solve this case. And he was willing to give any and every interview. But I've covered other cases where, you know, I walked in and they're like, I'm not answering questions about this. I'm not answering questions about this or about this. So, which I get it from both perspectives because they've got to kind of hold some details close to the vest.
Yeah.
You know, so I get it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Has any of your unsolved cases been solved because you've covered them?
So I don't know. We did have one where
no way.
We had somebody reach out to us on Facebook. And she said that she had some intimate knowledge about some people in the area. And so, you know, I basically said, either you can call law enforcement or I can call for you. And she was like, well, you call. So I called the detective and she had mentioned like five names. And I said, you know, I said, you've probably already vetted these people, but here's this name. And he was like, yep, we've, you know, looked into him. This name, yep. We've looked into that. This one, yep. This one, yep. And I said the fifth name and it's silent for a second. And he said, I need to know the name of your source because that name is very interesting to this investigation. So I had to reach back out to the person on Facebook and I was like, you're going to have to call. So I think the person did. But so I still have no idea if it led anywhere, but at least there have been leads that have come in. Yeah. So that's exciting.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
That gave me chills.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
Yeah. There's that's actually awesome. Going to be.
We have had.
Oh, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say there's going to be a new true crime conference that starts in 2025, I believe, that is going to be about family advocacy. So instead of like Crime Con, which is really about people, you know, showing up to meet the podcasters and the panels and different things, this will feature, there will be families who are invited of families of, you know, lesser known cases. So different podcasters can speak to these families because, you know, they're desperate to get their stories out there. And then, and then spread the word and get more people to cover it. I'll send you the link.
Now, have you been to CrimeCon? Like, have you gone? Because that's next on our list as well. We would love to go to one of them.
I haven't gone. I've thought about the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival. That's another big one other than CrimeCon, and the tickets are a lot more affordable for podcasters and for attendees. So I'm thinking that's on my bucket list.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yep. And then
I feel like once we go to one of those, I'll feel like we really made it.
Yeah. I'm excited for this new one too. I actually
That's a list.
Sponsored a family to go. So I think that'll be good because I want them to get their story out. So I know.
That is so awesome.
Stop.
You're like a saint.
You really are. Just out here fighting crime.
That's right.
You are.
Get these stories out there.
Love
it's amazing.
Yeah. That is it's awesome. That teacher heart in us. You get it.
It is.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
It is. Yeah. So Allison is also part of the education community. How dare y'all not know that already? Seriously.
Really?
She is no longer a classroom teacher, but her job is pretty cool. And I think that I'm going to bring it to my admin and see like if this is even a position. So Allison, do you want to tell them like what your position is? Cause I think it's so interesting.
Sure. So I'm the digital learning coach for Anderson County Schools and I do our PR for the district. So I'm in charge of the Facebook page and writing news articles, just making sure that our story gets out there. But as a digital learning coach, I get to explore all the new technology that comes out and teach teachers about how they can use it best in their classroom. So it's really fun.
Dream job.
It really is a dream job.
What's a tech thing that you've come across that you would recommend for teachers to look more into?
Oh my gosh. I could send you a whole list. I, everybody knows Canva. There's so much you can do in Canva.
Yeah.
But I love just all the things that you can do with, say, ChatGPT.
Oh, I know.
Or Magic School. Yeah. Brooke, yes. I know you've looked at that. And I am loving the new AI stuff because, you know, you could, if you've got a parent who sends you a snarky email, you can go to ChatGPT and you can say, I need to respond cordially, yet firmly to a parent who is saying these things. And you hit submit and there's your email. Or you can be like, hey, I need a choice board activity for third grade. I want it to include the four C's. I want it to include Pop-Its. I want it to include these things. Mm-hmm. And it has to meet these standards. And it will just give you all of that.
It's amazing.
It really
is. It's amazing.
The possibilities are endless.
They really are. Yeah.
But you have a mentor for.
Yeah. When I got diagnosed with PCOS, that was like the first thing that I did is I went to ChatGPT and I was like, okay, I need the top supplements for PCOS. Mm-hmm. I need a 1 week meal plan where I get 20 to 30 grams of protein and breakfast, but it needs to be simple and easy. And like, it just was like the most basic meal plan ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is about to put so many like trainers out of business because, you know, you're paying hundreds of dollars for them to write you a meal plan. But the good thing about being like, I just spoke at the ACTM conference in Alabama and, you know, I had an audience, which the age range differed. And I was like, look, if AI is something you're scared of because you think that it's going to take your job, like I'm here to tell you it's not, because AI cannot build relationships with children. Right. And that is ace number one. That is that is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And what it can do is it can save you time and it can save you energy.
Yeah.
And it can create things that have been put on our plates that maybe aren't as important, but higher ups think that they are.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many, you know, too, like accommodations that can be met through AI. Oh, yeah. Like there's an app called Seeing AI. And so someone who has a student who has visual impairment, they can download this app and they can point it. It will, like, there's different functions. One will tell you a description of a person's face who's near you. If you have them programmed into your phone, it would be like, Ashley is 5 feet away. And so it will tell you like currency. It will tell you all these things. Mm-hmm. Or there's one called Goblin Tools, and students who struggle with understanding their own tone that they use can copy and paste a paragraph in there. And it will say, this tone seems very informal or aggressive or whatever. So there's all kinds of stuff that students could use too. If teachers knew about and could say, you know, hey, try this out.
I feel like I could prick your brain all day because my students are very low with reading, which makes centers very hard in my class because all of them need something read to them. So I keep trying to like bring out new things to like make it easier. Like, oh, something's, I'm recording myself reading to them, but then they're still not being able to navigate. So I'm trying to find something out there that is similar to like you point it in, but I want it, you like, because all my kids have iPads. They're one-to-one. But I want them to point to the assignment and for it to read it to them.
Yeah.
Like, what does this question say? I need something like that because my center time is where I'm really going to see that growth in them. But I can't do it.
Yeah.
Because even if I have a group, it's like, Ms. Brandt, went away, Ms. Brandt, Ms. Brandt. And I'm just like, something has got to give.
Yeah. There are some programs that can do that. There's even one that I can't remember what it's called right now. But you can choose whose voice is reading it. So there's like Gwyneth Paltrow, Snoop Dogg, like all these people, and you can choose them and they read it. Oh, yeah. I'll send you some links. I'll find some links. Yeah.
I would seriously love that because it is a challenge for me right now. And like, this is year nine and I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm like trying to figure it out. And I really need to start having more effective small groups for my kids because, like I said, a lot, this is their first year state testing. A lot of them have difficulty reading, and I need to prepare them as much as possible, but I don't really want to bog them down with third grade things when we need to go back. Like, we got things to do. Like, we need to learn our foundational skills, baby. We need to learn them.
Spiral reviews.
So that would be very helpful.
Yeah.
That would be very helpful.
I will
helpful
send
for
you
me.
All
thank
the
you.
Links. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yay.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, wow. Allison, we're going to go ahead and like get into our episode and see how we do things. Also, before we start, Allison is our guest on Teachers Talk Crime today, but we are going to be one of her guests on her podcast called Teen Cases. So please go check that out. She's going to tell us a case and we just kind of get to be the listeners. And I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time. I feel like we've been doing a lot of like on people's podcast stuff lately.
I love
it. Like,
it's great. Yeah.
Are we famous?
Right.
It's so surreal. It's so surreal. I just can't.
So, Ashley, you want to introduce our
Estudiante Estrella?
Well, so I have the star student today, and it is from SMS Cheerstar. And the title is 5 stars all day long. And of course, it's a 5-star review. Yes. So SMS Cheerstar said, I found this podcast when it popped up in my TikTok over a year ago, the power of TikTok. I think there was only 7 or 8 episodes out at the time, and now we're at 100. I have never looked forward to a Monday until I found this podcast, and I love listening on my way home from work. I live 50 minutes from school on a good day. It definitely helps me decompress. I teach special education pre-K. Whoa. It's definitely nice to get my mind off everything. Thank y'all so much for bringing cases with not only a different perspective, but only ones that don't get enough coverage. Can't wait to hear the next 100 episodes. Love y'all so much. Wish I could meet you guys. I feel like y'all are my besties in the car.
How nice.
So sweet. That's sweet.
So sweet.
I feel like we just get the best reviews, man.
We do.
I just truly can't believe it. Like, when I read some of these reviews, I'm like, really?
I know.
Oh, that's so nice that like so we can relate to people. And we got a really nice review that we're going to read one of these days. But it was the sweetest thing I've ever read in my entire life. We just appreciate y'all reviews. So keep sending them because we're going to keep reading them and keep smiling. Yes. You know, see this dimples coming out over here. You know?
See?
You know? SMS Cheerstar?
Yeah.
All right. Well, SMS Cheerstar, I thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing.
Yeah. That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
I don't know how she's not writing jingles for a living.
I need to figure that out. If anyone knows, who to point me to that direction.
That's
your next
career. Yeah.
Stop. I would love that.
That's what you do.
Oh my gosh. Send me the info. Someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anyone listening knows how I can get into jingles, send them my way because I'm a jingle queen.
You are.
Love me a good jingle.
Yep. I tried last week with the Senorita and...
No, didn't work.
That's all right, girl. You tried.
I tried.
Effort.
I did.
Yeah.
It's just so funny thinking back, like, because all the jingles I've made for Teachers Talk Crime, I still have all the old ones, like, in my voice notes on my phone. So I always go back once in a while. And I'm like, oh, imagine if that was the, like, some of them are crazy. I might try and do one day and and like, see what this could have been.
Right.
Yep.
That's right.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Well, we're going to go ahead and jump into it. So Ashley's going to have our case today. So sit down, shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Ahora. So I remember seeing clips of the body cam footage on this case on TikTok. And I feel like that's where I get a lot of my cases from. Like when I'm scrolling, I have a whole separate folder titled Possible TTC Cases. And I was just at a loss for words just by the captions alone. Because I was reading the caption underneath and I was like, oh my goodness, for real? Like it was nuts. So this case is pretty recent and I've been waiting for more information to come out about it because it is really quite fascinating. And while there is more information now than there was when it was initially reported, there's not a crazy amount of information out about it. And I honestly don't think much more information about this case is going to be released unless it actually goes to trial. And that is just like up in the air right now as well. So we're just going to jump right in. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Trigger warnings for this lesson are murder of a minor and mentions of self-harm. We'll begin today's lesson on January 5th, 2023 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Officers arrived on scene to the apartment of April Lida at around 2:30 a.m. and this is what the body cam footage caught.
I'm so sorry. We're just gonna put handcuffs on just for now.
I'm so sorry, Dad.
So for those of you not watching on YouTube, the footage shows a young girl being arrested by the police. Now, first reactions, what are we thinking?
Go ahead.
Well, I just, okay. She's 12 and there is empathy there. So like, I'm just confused. And like, obviously we've heard different cases where like the moms still like almost have sympathy for their other child that's killed one of the, you know, their siblings. Mm-hmm. And this mom is like not having that.
Yeah, she's you like, he better live. Like, I think she said something around those lines of, you better hope he lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her apology sounds extremely genuine to me. Mm-hmm. This does not sound like somebody who's like, oops, you know, there's definitely regret or I don't know what details you're going to tell us if it was in any way accidental or purposeful, but there is regret there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. So due to the age of the young girl, her identity has not been released to the public. So I will be referring to her as the 12-year-old girl throughout most of the case. I don't want y'all to think I'm being like rude, but like I was going to call her Jane Doe, but I thought that would be weird. So I'm just going to refer to her as a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay. So according to April Lida, she was sleeping when her 12-year-old daughter woke her up to tell her that she had stabbed her 9-year-old brother, Xander Lida, in the chest. Okay. So the police body cam goes on to show the 12-year-old saying the following things. Are the handcuffs necessary? I'm a good child. I have ruined my life. I ruined my whole future, and I just want to wake up from this nightmare. I already know I'm going to jail for the rest of my life. What I did was super illegal. So if you continue to watch the footage, you can hear her saying those things on the footage.
And in what demeanor is she saying these on the footage?
Like just as in the same way as that she was talking when you heard her.
Okay.
Like she calms down a little bit, but she's still like, so I don't want to say
fully
frantic.
Like her consequences that are about to come.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird because her age obviously comes out because even though she's aware of the consequences, still the comments like, is it really necessary that I'm handcuffed?
Mm-hmm.
Show that she's not, because she's not, you know, fully cognitively mature to understand, I guess.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Xander was rushed to a nearby hospital where doctors performed emergency surgery in order to attempt to save his life. Unfortunately, it was not enough to save his life, and he passed away due to his injuries. Before I continue, I'm going to share some information about Xander that I was able to find during my research. According to one source, a family friend by the name of Jennifer A. wrote the following on the GoFundMe that she created for April and her family. Her son Xander was the sweetest boy who had the biggest smile. He loved to ride his bike, play Fortnite, hang out with his best friend, or just run errands with his mom. He loved spending time with his dad and grandma, going on trips with his family, and his favorite places was Sky Zone, Incredible Pizza, and the Children's Museum. His favorite foods were cheese pizza, tacos, and chocolate ice cream. He was an amazing son who would always do what he was told without hesitation. He wanted to make his man... He was an amazing son who would always do what he was told without hesitation. He wanted to make his mom proud. And from the sounds of it, he was just like really sweet and adorable.
And so he's 9. So it's like all of those things are like things that a 9-year-old boy is like into, like Fortnite, things like that.
Ice cream.
Now,
yeah.
We're Yeah. And so were their parents married? Not that it matters, but you know.
No, they were. April was a single mother.
Okay. And she had these two kids, the daughter, the 12-year-old.
She has three, actually.
Three. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Xander, the daughter, that was the 12-year-old, and another child.
Okay. Yep. And a 3-year-old son.
Okay. 3-year-old. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The 12-year-old was taken down to the police station. There she confessed to stabbing her little brother. April was also interviewed at the station and disclosed to police that her daughter has never shown any type of aggression in the past. Although there is still no motive or explanation for the stabbing, April believes that her daughter was going through some type of mental break. She disclosed that her daughter had been having thoughts of stabbing her brother 2 weeks prior before his stabbing. And that to me is just like, and there was no elaboration on this. It just was lightly dropped in one of the sources that she'd have. And I don't know how she became aware.
Well, I mean, we just did the Daniel Marsh case. If she told a counselor that, you know, they're legally required to tell whoever you confess to wanting to harm, they legally have to tell them that. So him being a minor at 9, if she said this to a school counselor or just a regular counselor, then they have to go and inform the mother because that's the guardian of the 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she could have been really close with her mom and just confided in her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and well, like, at what point do you just, as a parent, do you say, you know, you're just acting out aggressions or anger and this, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, imagery that you're creating versus there being mm-hmm a real desire? Because yeah. I'm sure you guys have covered cases as well. I can think of one. There was a serial killer, Charlie Brandt, and he had a psychotic break and killed his parents. And ran into his sister's room and was about to stab her before she kind of like broke his trance. He was almost in a trance-like state. And so, you know, I've read about cases like that. And so it's really, it's dark, but it's interesting. And I believe that it can happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It can. And I'll get into it later, like, you know, the specifics. Like, I'm not really too sure this was the case. Also, I'm not a medical professional.
Right.
So, yeah, like, neither. Don't take what I'm saying. Right. Like, take it with a grain of salt because, baby, I'm a teacher. That's what I'm...
That's right.
I'm proficient in, not medical things, okay? So, she went on to say that her daughter had actually reached out to her friends about these thoughts, but they were afraid to share this with April or their own parents. So, the 12-year-old had reached out to her friends and was like, hey, I'm having these thoughts. And then her friends were just like, okay...
And see something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, putting no blame on them because, you know,
no.
I'm thinking of myself as a child. And if somebody was to tell me that I can't say that I would go. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Well, as an adult, 100%.
Yeah. Especially if your friend had never said anything like that before. So this is completely out of character. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So April believed that all of this was due to a medication issue. Her daughter had been on ADHD medication for 5 years, but had stopped taking them when she began being homeschooled. April began giving her daughter the medication again when she went back to public school and her grades began to fall. April states that she put her daughter back on the meds due to the advice from not only her daughter's school, but also doctors. April then stopped giving her daughter the medication again when she began self-harming herself. It's important to note that the medication that the 12-year-old was on was never disclosed, but it was not a psychiatric drug. So,
well, here's my thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
Does it not speak... Granted, I want to stay for the record. Y'all all know, I am a public educator. Like, the state signs my checks, okay? Mm-hmm. But does it not speak volumes that she only needed this medicine when she was back in a 8-to-3 environment school and like she didn't need it when she was being homeschooled? And I think that goes back to there being a lot of debate on the internet like nowadays, like, well, currently about homeschooling your children and how it allows their minds to grow and develop and not put them in this box of what public education wants them to be in, and it creates employees. So I think that that's worth noting. But also, if she is taking ADHD medicine, no, that would not be a psychotic or a psychiatric drug. That would be Ritalin, Adderall, Vyvanse. Those would be your typical. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have students that take these drugs. I mean, yeah. I can tell you which kids did not take their medicine on Monday and take it on Tuesday. I have to call parents sometimes. I'm like, hey, I have an observation. Can your kid please take their medicine? Like, just mm-hmm. saying.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate that, mm-hmm. but it is some, I don't know. I've never seen those type of effects, but. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's clearly some
body
underlying issue, and it cannot be good for the chemical balance in your body to go on medication and go Correct. Off of it and go on it and go off mm-hmm. of it. And mm-hmm. that has to mess with, I mean, chemicals in your brain, because that's, you know, mm-hmm. that's what those medications do. They affect your brain function. Yeah.
And then I just found it, you know, because Brooke, like you're saying that you've reached out to parents and ex, you know, parents to put them, like, I've been told, like, I can't suggest, like, hey, your kid needs, like, I'm finding X, Y, and Z. I think you should mm-hmm. take your child to their physician mm-hmm. to see if they're, like, I can't advise. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't advise if I don't already know. Like, these parents have told me on their, like, what I should know about your child form. They've told me that their child takes medication. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've had several parents that have reached out to me this year, three, actually, and have said, do you think my child's medicine needs to be up? Like, what are you seeing mm-hmm. them do in the classroom? Like, what is your professional opinion? And, you know, some of them, I'm like, actually, I don't think your child's taking their medicine at all. I think I think you leave for work and assume they're taking it and they're not. Like, you know, I would never just say, I think your child needs medication without right. knowing that their child's already on medication.
Yeah. Cause like I've had some students in the past where, you know, it's like, okay, I know for a fact, like they have ADHD, they have ADD. Mm-hmm. But I can't say that to a parent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, I can't, because, you know, it could be taken the wrong way. So I'm just wondering how the conversation came up with, like, hey, you should probably put your daughter back on meds. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that came mm-hmm. around.
But also, like, I mean, my husband has ADD, ADHD. And, like, if our child, you know, whenever we have a child, if they have ADD, ADHD, he is hell-bent and determined we will not be medicating our child. Like, because mm-hmm. he was medicated heavily as a child, and he doesn't remember most of his elementary years, like, at all.
Oh, that's sad.
And he doesn't agree with that. He's unmedicated now as a grown adult, and he mm-hmm. has to work extra hard every single day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, he is mentally exhausted by the end of the day on how hard it is for the wiring of his brain. But he's like, no, we're not. There's other ways. He takes vitamins. He eats right. He makes sure, you know, he gets sleep, all of those holistic things. So that's interesting that people were suggesting that her daughter go back on medication. And like you said, one, it's a 12-year-old female. She's about to have her cycle. If she doesn't already have her cycle, then you're adding hormones into it. Mm-hmm. Then you're adding in taking her off medicine, putting her on medicine, taking her off medicine, putting her on medicine. It's,
Yeah. And I've talked to James about this because I'm going through the process with my youngest twin. We're getting her tested for ADHD because I think she may have it. And James is like, please, if it comes back that she has ADHD, let me write something up for you. And I'm like, Jamesy Poo, you got it. Because I'm a firm believer, like, I love who my daughter is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want the medicine to change who she is, because she's great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to find things that work for her, that help her, that don't necessarily need medication. So I'm all ears. So I'm ready. I mean, I don't know if she's going to eat the food, because she's a very picky little girl. Fish sticks, corn dogs is her life. So that's going to be hard for her.
Yeah.
where was I? April noticed a significant change in her daughter's behavior weeks before the murder. She began being in her room for long periods of time, which was out of the ordinary. April stated that her daughter just wanted her own space weeks prior, but April attested it to typical teenage behavior.
I think that'd be so easy to do. I don't have a teenage daughter. I don't have a daughter at all, but I do teach teenagers. And like, when they don't want to talk to you, they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
How recent was this case? You said it was very recent.
January of this year.
Did she have a cell phone? I'm just curious because
I didn't find anything in my research about anything, any cell phone data or evidence.
I feel like with cell phones, especially in that early teen age, They can self-isolate. There are all kinds of problems that come with cell phone usage. But if they're on, you know, some social media, then they can be swayed by it. There's just, I don't know. I was just curious if she was kind of isolating and not being social because she was, you know.
Yeah, that I'm unsure of. It might come out later. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah.
The night prior to the stabbing, the 12-year-old had self-harmed. April stated that her daughter had only done that once before. Dr. Darcy Sterling, a licensed clinical social worker, gave her professional opinion on the situation. She stated the following, "I have never heard of a situation where a child just inadvertently does something like this with zero warning signs. And the meds are not going to make somebody homicidal like that." Which...
But we just talked about that too. Like that, those medicines are what kids are on every single day. I'm not saying they can't. I am not saying that, again, not a doctor. But I would guess that the chances are very low given how many children are on these medications. And, you know, he has a point. There's always some underlying, there's always a deeper something there for this action to take place.
Yeah.
I've never woken up and just been like, I want to kill James.
Yeah.
Like, or I want to, you know, I just.
Yeah. I don't know. April posted an update about her daughter in May stating the following. "She has been very well behaved the entire 6 months she has been gone. And yes, I'm very supportive of her and love her very much. Obviously, there's a lot of healing that we both need before we can ever live together again. And she needs mental and emotional help after this. She could have permanent damage. We don't know yet, but she has not had any issues." So I'm not like, I'm also not sure where exactly she is. Like, I feel like she's in some type of facility because she's not, like, I'm going to mention this later, but like no charges have been filed. Like, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, yeah. She hasn't been charged with anything?
No, ma'am.
So
no, ma'am.
She wouldn't be in juvie then?
No, I assume she's in some type of like out, well, not inpatient. She's in some type of
facility. Oh, okay. Yeah. So they could have said that that they believe it was some sort of psychotic break. And so that's why she wasn't charged. So clearly there's something going on. And then for the mom to say she might have trauma because of, I mean, clearly she will. Clearly.
Yeah.
Because all the things say that they loved each other very much and they like had a very good relationship, her and her brother. So like for you to just come out and just like, you know what I mean? Like,
But it could also be an agreement. Like, you know how a lot of times they have to be declared sane to even go to trial or be charged. Like she could be under some type of observation right now and they might charge her later if they deem her fit or if they say, actually this was premeditated. And
yes,
I mean, so that could happen.
Well, especially if she made the comments, like you were saying, Ashley, to her friends, you know, beforehand. Yeah. But
she's never had those thoughts before. And it could have been like with the medicine, like her coming off of it, you know, it could have been, you know, there's a lot of gears factors at work here. A video posted on YouTube by Law and Crime Network on June 2nd showed April expressing her continued support for her daughter. And I'm going to play that clip for you now.
Was she able to tell you what led to her stabbing him?
She has no idea why she did it. She's heartbroken and she feels very guilty, but she still doesn't understand why she did it. She said it was like it wasn't her. And the team of specialists working with her, they believe her after working with her for the last 6 months every day. And I believe her too because I know my child and I know that wasn't her.
Thoughts?
I think it sounds a lot like a psychotic break. I mean, that whole out-of-body experience. And she's 12, so I don't think that she would know, you know, here are the symptoms of, you know, if I've had some sort of psychotic break. So I don't know.
But then it makes you wonder what triggered the psychotic break? You're, like you just said, you're 12. Like, is there family trauma that's not being brought up? Are there things that we don't know? You know, what was happening at school? Like, did she have a boyfriend? Did some, you know, what is the backstory to trigger a psychotic break in a 12-year-old?
Yeah.
Other than this medication. So that makes me wonder, is there something else going on that we don't know about that she could have been dealing with?
That's possible.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I again, don't understand a psychotic break. I haven't never had one. I hope I never do. I'm very sympathetic to those that who have had one. You know, I do know somebody who has recently had one, and I get it. And it was triggered by different medications all mixed together.
Wow.
But that's just interesting, you know, that she's saying that it was an outer body experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As of right now, no charges have been filed against the 12-year-old, but according to April, later on down the road, there might be. No.
And that goes back to, I think they're evaluating her and they're seeing if she's competent to stand trial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what did the mom say?
It seems like she is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like she's in some type of like inpatient program because she's been there the past 6 months. She's been there the whole time. So I think that's really the situation happening, and they're really just trying to get to the bottom of everything, I feel like. So.
Wow.
April stated the following in regards to her daughter. I want her to get whatever help she needs. She's going to have a lot of hard time grieving and feeling guilty. So she's going to need a lot of help in that aspect. I eventually want her to come home when she is done with her treatment. So as I stated earlier, there is a GoFundMe for April. April is a single parent and is still raising her 3-year-old son on her own. This tragedy has caused her to have a multitude of unexpected expenses. A direct quote from the GoFundMe page states the following. The funds will be used for moving expenses to relocate her and her son to a new home. Because I'm under the impression that she is still living.
Where her son
in the
died.
Home.
That yes. would be hard.
That's, we got to get April. We got to get out of
lost,
there.
You lost two kids that night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legal attorney fees and unexpected car repair, as well as some monthly bills and living expenses until she is able to return to work full time. As of right now, $18,004 of the $25,000 goal has been raised. If you'd like to donate to help April and her family, please use the link to her GoFundMe in our show notes. And that's all I got.
Wow.
I hope people donate. I do. Mm-hmm. Gosh, yeah. My heart goes out to April.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was.
I mean, can you imagine, like, you lost two children in one night, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're expected to continue living because you have a child you still have to feed and provide for. And the last thing you want to do is go to a 9-to-5 job. Like, you know, how has she even had time to grieve? Because you're actually grieving two totally separate losses.
Mm-hmm.
You're grieving the loss of a child that's still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it has to be the case, as sad as this is, that every time she sees her daughter, those other images come flooding back. And so that is a process. I mean, I think she's very honest when she says it's going to take time to get past it for both of them.
And the fact that she's even willing to I can't even speak for myself in a situation like that. Like, I don't know what I would do. I truly don't, because that's hard. So the fact that I can't say I'd be as strong, even as a mother of twins. Like I would want to hope that I would be.
Right.
Seen it so much. I mean, look at the Paris Lee Bennett case. Like he drug his mother through the mud and she went to visit him all the time.
She stood beside him. She sure did.
Wow.
She sure did. Yeah. Oh, that's all I got on the Xander Lyda case. Yeah.
Wow. It's a lot to unpack.
No.
Yeah. I just remember seeing, because the footage, I think, came out around like May or June.
That was disturbing.
And I was, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I only showed y'all a little snippet. The rest of it is in the show notes if you guys want to watch the whole footage. But she's like talking about how she threw the knife out the window and how she didn't mean to do it and all this stuff. And it's really sad to watch because I, like you said, Allison, I feel like she really was remorseful. Mm-hmm. Like I genuinely get that from her, that she didn't want to do this. And it was something that was out of her control in a way. So yeah, I'm curious to see how this unfolds, if we get anything, because like I said, she's 12. So I don't even know if anything more is going to come from this. You know what I mean? Right. So yeah.
You'll have to give us an update.
If anything does come.
Yeah.
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 I'll let you know if I find anything, but
yeah. Wow. Absolutely. Well, thanks for bringing that to us.
You're welcome.
I guess if you have any information, let us know. If you see an update, let us know. Next, we're going to be on Allison's podcast, Coffee and Cases.
Yes.
So
I'm excited.
Make sure to go and check that out.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun time. I'm excited.
That's right.
Yeah. She's already sent me the case and she was like, y'all haven't covered this one yet.
Right. I
like,
had to make sure. I had to make sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be a surprise for me. I'm excited.
Tell you all about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't wait. Same place tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for being here with us. We appreciate
you. Yeah.
And Allison's the queen of collabs, so we will be doing a New Year collab with her and some other podcasts, just like we did the Halloween one, but the mastermind behind all of that is Allison, so I want to make sure I give all the props to her. She, I mean, I don't know how you did it all, girl. I do not. You're amazing.
Yeah. I was like, does she want me to edit the episode? Or like, I was like, I'm going to just do it for her because that's a lot. Yeah. I'm going to just do it.
We have even more podcasters who are going to be in the New Year's one. So excited. New year, new binge. That's what it's called.
Okay.
So you can find all your all your new binge-worthy podcasts.
Yeah, I like that. Awesome. I like that a lot.
Now you just got to write a jingle for it, Ashley. That's what I need.
Okay.
There you go. Your first gig.
That's right.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I gotta do well. I'm gonna practice. Right. New year, new binge. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Let me write this down.
Come up with some really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, don't Allison, tell me you're gonna get time. You're gonna get all the voice notes at like midnight because that's what she did to me.
Okay.
I do my best thinking at night.
That's right.
I thrive in the nighttime.
Yeah.
And then I'm in a deep sleep.
Me too. I'm usually asleep by like 9:30.
Wow. Yeah. That's unheard of for me. I only go to bed that time if I'm sick.
Oh, okay. I get up at like 5. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm in a deep sleep then.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I get up at 5 as well.
Yeah. Ooh, that's not fun for me.
No.
I get up at 6:45 on a good day.
Yeah.
Which, not up at 6:45 this morning.
Sounds like you're judging me.
I'm not. I wish I was still in bed. Absolutely not.
No. I mean, I did get home at like 11 o'clock last night from New York. So, my family's in New York. So we spent Thanksgiving down there, which was nice.
Nice.
And then I was in denial when I woke up this morning and my family wasn't here. So it took me a little longer to get out of bed this morning.
That's fine. Understandable.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah. Well, but, that's really, that's it.
It's a wrap.
All right. That's a wrap. As always, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
So we'll see you next time. Bye.
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 It never happens at a good time. The pipe bursts at midnight. The heater quits on the coldest night. Suddenly, you're overwhelmed. That's when HomeServe is here. For $4.99 a month, you're never alone. Just call their 24/7 hotline and a local pro is on the way. Trusted by millions, HomeServe delivers peace of mind when you need it most. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.